How did the rookie class respond to the extra time during the off-season program and then coming back here a little bit earlier?
Yeah, they've done a good job. There's a gentleman that drives a shuttle. A player stays at the hotel and they shuttle back and forth. And this gentleman came up to me and he said, "Hey, I've been doing this since Coach Coughlin, was the head coach, taking the players back and forth." And he said, not to say anything about the past classes that you guys had, but Coach, I just want to tell you, these are a great group of young men. They're very respectful. They do all the right things. We really haven't had any issues, none. So if you jinxed us, I'm going to be pissed. You know what I'm saying?
Day one of 2018 Jacksonville Jaguars training camp is in the books. And we've got all the takes, news, analysis, everything you need right here at Locked On Jaguars. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. Get a look at some of the content I put out there today on behalf of Locked On Jaguars and follow along for the rest of training camp as well. Not only should you follow me on Twitter, you should also follow my co-host who was there with me at camp and will be there with me throughout the next week, Chris Thornton at Misto Christopho. Chris, how'd you enjoy training camp today?
It was hot.
It was really hot. even with the clouds, it was cloudy for most of it, but that sun still found a way to peek through. And even when it wasn't, it was still pretty hot out there. Not much of a breeze going on. But like I said, be sure to throw Chris a follow at Misto Christopho. Follow the Locked On Jaguars page at Locked On Jaguars. Throw us a subscription on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. We are most likely there, as well as bookmark the Locked On Jaguars .com website. We've got articles going up there every day with our recaps from training camp, so be sure to follow along and get some of the best content you can get. We will dive right into it. As we were there today, we got to attend some of the press conferences, get some quotes, pick up as much info as we can during the first day of training camp, and looking forward to doing it for the rest of the next week and a half. This should start with Blake Bortles. The quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars is entering his first year on his new contract, a three-year, $54 million deal he signed with the team in February. And boy, did he look like the quarterback that they signed him to be. He was as consistent as I've seen him in camp, albeit being a one-day, first day of camp. But that's the thing. You normally don't see that type of consistency right out the gate, especially with Blake Bortles. And he was proving haters wrong today. He went 12 for 17 based on my count. A lot of short and intermediate throws with some deep ones, including a real nice post route that he hit Dante Moncrief on in traffic. There were like three or four defenders closing in on him, but there was so much confidence put into that ball and the right amount of touch. Went right into Moncrief's fingertips, and he was able to haul it in for a real nice gain. All in all, I'd say Blake looked really poised and confident out there. Chris, how did you feel Blake performed today, and how can he build on that going forward?
Yeah, it was probably one of his best training camp performances that I've seen in the last two or three years. Usually Blake's known for being a not good practice guy, usually struggling practice, but today went turnover-free, put the ball in some pretty good spots. There was a few errant throws, but I mean, most quarterbacks are going to have that. Aaron Rodgers was picked off on his first pass of training camp today. So, all in all, a pretty good performance from Bortles. Receiver-wise, there wasn't really a whole lot of people. There wasn't a whole lot that really stuck out. I feel like they kind of played it short and safe today. There was a few flashy plays by like Moncrief, ASJ, Westbrook, and Chark, but other than like maybe a play or two from each person, pretty uneventful in the passing game, which is understandable. It's the first practice back that all these guys have been together in front of fans in over a year. So all in all, from Bortles' perspective, very good practice from him.
I would definitely say so. And it looks like despite there being a lot of new guys in this passing game, there's two or three new receivers that are looking, no, two new receivers looking to make the depth chart, two new tight ends looking to make the depth chart. Both positions, those guys are considered locks. So a lot of shakeup going into this passing game, let alone the guys that are gone. But it seemed like Blake really seemed to find that chemistry with those guys. granted, it was the short intermediate levels of the field that they're starting with, but at the same time, they all seem to be in sync, as well as the older guys. You know, D.D. Westbrook looked to have a really good day. He was making some plays, especially along dig routes. Those 7 to 12-yard-ish range type of plays for him are what's going to be vital in his growth going forward, is that possession guy, because that's a role that I think he's able to really fill, and he was able to make a couple catches out there. You, like you said, there weren't a ton of flashy plays, but one guy that did seem to be a little inconsistent to me was Austin Seferian Jenkins, the Jaguars' new tight end.
Yeah, when I was watching him early on, he made a few good plays on the ball. Blake had a few kind of missed throws, and he was still able to cradle those in, and then as the day went on, he seemed to kind of drop a few more. I don't know if those were balls that were the problem, or if it was just he lost focus, or if the defender got a hand on it, because from our perspective, I couldn't really tell. All in all, I'd say an average day for ASJ, hoping that it gets better as the week goes on, when pads get on. Maybe a little more play calling and more report from Blake and ASJ. So that'll be something that I'll be looking forward to. I noted that at the beginning of training camp that I was looking to see how that is between the two, because I know during OTAs that he was making a good amount of plays. So it'll be good to see that live and on video.
He did have one or two nice plays, including a sideline catch that was very impressive. At the same time, he also had one or two drops during the day, and some people were making note of his conditioning, that he seemed out of shape, a little slow to get up at times, getting water a lot, something that he's going to have to correct going forward, especially, granted, just getting used to this type of heat, because last time he played in this heat was a couple years ago. It was when he was with Tampa Bay, but he missed some time due to his DUI incidences in the past, then spent a year in New York, so definitely a lot of change for him as he's getting used to the mid-July Florida heat. So conditioning, something he's going to have to focus on. Was there anyone else in the receiver, or for that matter, offensive part of practice that seemed to impress you and stand out to you?
Fournette looks slimmer. You could definitely tell that he's down to a weight that he hadn't been last year. He seemed quicker. Obviously, I don't really have a baseline to compare that to other than memory, but he seems slimmer, more agile. That's basically one of the biggest takeaways I can get from him. Nobody really else stuck out really on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that we're just going to have to watch as training camp goes on, when they get their pads on. You know, obviously the run game, you can never really take too much away from that right now in camp regardless, because they do call run plays dead pretty quickly. That's something you'll just have to wait to see when the preseason rolls around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe it was one-on-one drills. So it was quarterback, running back, linebacker. He made a good play on Telvin Smith on the second field. Did a real nice cut. Was able to separate from Smith by a few yards and obviously get the easy completion. So that was something that really kind of proved to me that his ankle looks to be okay. He was cutting effortlessly out there, didn't seem to be held up by any type of injury, couldn't see any type of kind of him holding back due to pain. So that's something good. I think this offseason was something that I think his body needed after a long, grueling season in the NFL, getting banged up. Now he's going into his second year. He knows how to treat his body a little better. He knows the rigors of the NFL a little bit better. So that'll be something to watch as training camp goes on and as the season goes on, and maybe even his career, to let him get healed up and kind of know a little, maybe probably some more prevention things for him to stay healthy.
Definitely. And that's something that Blake Bortles mentioned at his press conference, that, you know, the first year in the NFL for a rookie, they are working so hard to get drafted earlier in the combine, all their drills, all the stuff they do to be sure that they go as early as can be. As soon as that happens, they immediately hop right into OTAs, to mini camp, all that kind of stuff. It's nonstop in that first year. And he made note that in going into their second year, that offseason, a lot of rookies tend to get lazy. And he didn't seem to think that with Leonard Fournette. Fournette did miss, what was it, OTAs, I think. He didn't show up to any of the OTAs, and people were kind of questioning that, as he was only a first, about to be second-year player. But Bortles really stood up for him in his press conference and was saying that, especially in noticing how he's lost quite a bit of weight, slimmed down, and has been working very hard this offseason, it was impressive to him, especially going into that second year when normally most guys would be getting a little lazy.
Yeah, and that's something to note also. Blake looks slimmer too. I know that he was down, or at least slimmer, going into OTAs. People had made that note, and I hadn't personally seen him in person, so it was just going off pictures. But in his presser today, he looked a lot slimmer, much more in shape. His face has thinned out a little bit, but just overall, his midsection just seemed really slimmed down. He just seems to be playing at a pretty good weight, really toned in. Because, I mean, in that second year, first and second year, you could kind of tell his face was a little chubbier. And then just now he looks good, was playing good. So, overall everything's looking pretty good with Blake.
Definitely. Another guy that was looking pretty thin was Dante Fowler Jr. at his press conference. We'll be talking about him as well as the rest of the defense and how the rest of the team performed during the first day of Jaguars training camp following these messages from our sponsor. Sometimes it's hard to find time to go to the gym because, you know, we've all got a busy schedule. I myself try to get to the gym as much as possible, but in running the Locked On Jaguars podcast as well as a 30-plus hour a week job, you know, it gets a little difficult. You get tired. You're not able to make it. But do you ever wish that the gym could come to you rather than you go to the gym? I certainly do. That's why I'm starting to use something called Nordic Track. Nordic Track has a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your own home, including treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and my personal favorite, you know, machines to work with your strength, whether that dumbbell lifting, barbell lifting, getting swole, right? That's what we all want to do. We all want to have impressive bodies. I'm not there yet. Chris isn't there yet. It's a work in progress. But you can join high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. Joining these streamed workouts in both studios and exotic destinations around the world. Start your day with a run through the streets of Paris and end with cross-training on the shores of Thailand or work out on the African safari. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. We have a special offer for our listeners here at Locked On Jaguars. Get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code Locked On. Again, visit nordictrack.com, nordictrack.com/lockedon, as in Locked On Jaguars. And use the promo code Locked On during checkout to save $75 off your purchase.
How did you deal with the Jags' decision not to pick up your options?
Here? Honestly, don't care.
Not at all?
Nope.
All right, so now we are going to circle over to the defensive side of the ball, the rest of the observations, some more press conference topics. What did you see, Chris, immediately? What comes to mind when you think about how the defense performed today?
I mean, there's no turnovers, so obviously that's, well, turnovers up for the first team. Tanner Lee threw an interception to, I'm not even sure. I don't know half.
I think it was Dee Delaney, undrafted free agent from this year out of, he wasn't the Vanderbilt one, somewhere. His name's Dee Delaney, I know that much.
Anyway, one turnover from what I can remember. Actually, I'll say two. Looked like Quentin Meeks, I think, forced a fumble on Alan Lazard with the third team or the second team reps. So other than that, not really a whole lot of plays on defense. There's a few pass breakups. But all in all for the defense, I mean, it was a solid day. There wasn't like a whole lot of like blown coverage and stuff. It was just good plays by the offense, something that we're not entirely used to in camp. But then again, Jalen 2.0 is not out there. So when he comes back, that's when I'll really start to judge. When we're starting to get more consistent 11-on-11 drills, that's when I will start to put a stamp on anything. But I'm not worried about about that at all. But defense, all in all, looked, I mean, there wasn't really anything to take any notes on.
I did have a couple, not as much about their performance and more so who was lining up where. And it starts off with, like you mentioned, 2.0. Jalen Ramsey is absent from practice. It's been excused from the team as he and his, is it girlfriend?
Yeah,
pretty sure so. It's girlfriend. Just gave birth to their first child. big congratulations to him. We have no idea when he'll be back. He's on his own timetable. The team has no issue with it. But in his place with the first team defense was Tyler Patman at cornerback. He is the guy who last year had eight interceptions during the entire training camp, which was like eight practices. So about an interception a day. Very impressive. People were believing that he could compete for the nickel job with DJ Hayden. I do believe he will just end up being primary depth at the corner position, being able to move all around. Bit of a journeyman. Came from the Dallas Cowboys and a couple of other teams before that. But he was getting those first team reps in place of Jalen Ramsey. And then at the Sam linebacker position, who isn't on the field as much as the nickel corner position. They run a lot more nickel than base. But when he is on the field, he does have a bit of a role as a run defender, as an edge setter, pressuring the quarterback, not as much a coverage responsibility. He plays closer to the line. That's been assumed to be up for grabs by Blair Brown, Donald Payne, and rookie Leon Jacobs. And today, right out the gate, Leon Jacobs was the guy taking the first team reps at the Sam linebacker position. I did note that he had a pass breakup on tight coverage with the first team on a pass from Blake Bortles to Austin Seferian Jenkins, keeping in mind that ASJ is what, like 6'6", something like that. And Jacobs is like 6'1", 6'2". He's not too lengthy, but he was able to go up and make a nice play on the ball going to Jenkins up the seam. So he was definitely impressive. The Sam linebacker doesn't get a ton of reps because, like I said, the team does run a lot more nickel than they do base. So it was good for him to make that impression early. Doug Marone has been vocal that he really likes Jacobs as a potential fit there at the Sam linebacker position, so we could have a face at the position already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know we discussed this on the pod a few days ago. I can't find the sources for what I was thinking, but I swore I remembered post-draft Caldwell had a presser that he was talking about Leon Jacobs and how they wanted to take him in like the fifth or sixth, and then they realized that he was going to fall. And when they got him in the seventh, it was almost a steal. I could be wrong. I might be just misremembering. But if that is the case, then that was the moment that I knew that the Jags really liked Leon Jacobs. And I know that he's super athletic, and that's probably one of the main reasons why they got him, because dude's a freak. So
yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that he's getting those first reps. If he ends up being a good starter, then man, what a steal for the Jaguars to get him in the seventh round. I mean,
you look at it like that, and every single one of their linebackers was a steal, technically.
Yeah, I mean,
no one expected Miles to fall to the second round. Telvin Smith was
a lot of people didn't expect Miles to fall out of the top five. So
exactly, Telvin being a fifth round gem, and then opportunity for Jacobs, despite not being in as big of a role, still being a starting linebacker on this team, and was a seventh round pick. So that entire linebacking core needs like a nickname that relates and correlates to to being steals. Mm-hmm. Well, we can move on to a little bit more on the defense. Without there being pads on, like Chris said, there really wasn't too much to take away. So we can move it into the press conference section of it. We got to see Dante Fowler up on the stand on the podium today, talking for the first time since the NFL slapped him with a one-game suspension for his 2017 battery incident, which we've covered on here before. Also talking about his injury a little bit that's got him on the physically unable to perform PUP list. It's a left shoulder injury. He, on the stand today, just said straight up he didn't know where the injury really came from. He was asked if it was during the playoffs, and he just said he didn't know where it came from. Chris, what were your takeaways from Fowler's press conference, other than I'll drop one? He looks thin, and he doesn't seem to care too much that he looks thin.
Yeah, his press conference was interesting, to say the least. He said some things that I didn't think he would say, but he did. Being one of the exact quotes was, he was asked how he felt that the Jaguars did not pick up his fifth-year option. And of course, he says, I honestly don't care. So and it was in a pretty kind of a tone that, you know, you could tell he didn't want to stay on that topic. He wanted to move on. So that wasn't an answer I really was expecting. I was expecting kind of, you know, a copy and paste, you know, I'll just prove it on the field and something like that. So that kind of caught me off guard. Zach got a quote that was pretty interesting. You can share that quote if you want.
So Mark Long, fellow member of the media, was asking Fowler on his last question before they moved it over to Blake's press conference about, since the incident last year, how he feels he's grown in terms of maturity. And this has always been something that people have worried about with Fowler, is his maturity issues. You know, can he be a respectful teammate as well as a respectful good person? Not that he's ever been suggested as a real bad guy, but just like I said before, just not too mature. So Long asked him about how he feels he's grown with his maturity, and especially heading into this year. And Fowler just kind of snaps back and says, "Did I go to jail?" Long immediately just, says back, "No, you didn't go to jail." And Fowler goes, "There you have it," and walked out. So thought that was a real interesting kind of snappy way. Definitely a dramatic, entertaining way for him to end his press conference. I think everyone got a laugh out of it, and everyone kind of went, "Yikes."
Yeah. That was basically a key word, I would say, for his press conference, is yikes.
Yeah. I think it just kind of is a solid summary as to what Fowler's attitude has been while he's been here. He said it when people addressed his weight. They said, "You look thin. Are you at the weight you want to be at?" And that was another thing where he was like, "I think I'm fine where I'm at. Just let me put on pads and I'll be a dog out there." That was, I'm pretty sure, his direct quote. So just kind of has that whatever personality. Last year, he obviously played a lot better than he's played in his the previous year. And obviously his rookie year, he missed with an ACL tear, entering his final year of his rookie deal, the fourth year of it, to prove whether or not he should be a member of this team going forward and receive a nice contract extension, or if he should test the open market. We will find that out soon enough as the season goes on. We will then take it to your questions from Twitter/messaging. If you, any of the listeners, had any questions regarding the first day of training camp, our observations and analysis, we will take it to those questions right after this break.
Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in a pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com to get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
So we've gotten a couple questions from Twitter regarding the first day of training camp. I've got a couple right here. I did tweet it out like right before we started recording this, so we didn't get a ton of questions, but we definitely had a couple. First one coming from Eric. He was wondering, we already talked a little bit about Blake Bortles, but a good question compared to years past. He wanted to know exactly how Bortles' throwing motion looked, better, worse, or about the same. This hasn't been a topic this year, going into the quarterback's fifth year with the team, his second year in Hackett's system, whereas pretty much every year before this, people were talking about what his mechanics looked like, how his throwing motion looked, if it was dragged out, if it was hurting the way he threw the ball. And I haven't seen anyone really talk about that this year. I think it's just kind of assumed that he's going to pick up where he left off.
What happens when you're good?
Yeah, he looked a lot better last year with his throwing motion. He's been going to California to work on his mechanics every year. He did it this past year, and he said he felt a lot better out there with his hand being total, or his right wrist, that for that matter, being totally recovered from that nagging injury that he had had for the past year or so after he had surgery on it. But it looked about fine. I mean, I didn't even pay attention to it too much, but I definitely didn't notice anything dragged out. Looked fine, and he was throwing very well. He was accurate pretty much the entire day, so I don't think it was affecting him at all.
Yeah, Blake looked, I mean, we said it early, he looked good. One of the very first things out of the gate I was looking forward was his throwing motion, accuracy, ball placement, how the ball looked. Right out of the gate, it looked good. I think we all kind of got a tease of that with videos from OTAs, consistent spirals, stuff like that. But in person, it held out just like the videos were. Spirals on point. Motion looked good. It's never going to be perfect, but it's faster. Ball's getting out pretty quick. So nothing really to pick apart there anymore.
Now we move on to a question from Sharif at OG Jaguars. He's excited. He said two words, Leon Jacobs, in all caps with a bunch of exclamation points. How has he been, and are the rumors true of him possibly getting the Sam job? Well, we pretty much summed that up before. It looks like today he was getting the majority of the first team reps at the Sam position. There's not too much to take away with it with that position or the defense as a whole without them having pads on. But the pass breakup that he had definitely stood out. It was something that caught my eye because there was definitely a size difference between him and the guy he was covering, and he was able to go up and make an acrobatic play on that. Whereas it's known that ASJ, with his size and athleticism, he's normally pretty good at coming down with contested catches, but Jacobs totally broke that one up. It looked really good. I'm excited to see if he gets the starting snaps going forward or if they try to switch it up at all.
Like I said, when we kind of found out that Leon Jacobs was going to be the first team reps for the practice, I wasn't surprised. Because, one, there's kind of three guys that I had penciled in at that last spot anyway. But he looked good. He looked good out there. I didn't think that I believe he had a pass breakup. I couldn't remember if it was him or not. I think he had a pass breakup on ASJ. And first team reps. So if he did, that might have been his play of the day. All in all, pretty quiet day. But like I said that for the entire defense as a whole. So I guess the good thing is he didn't have any bad plays. So
exactly.
I mean, I'm content with Leon Jacobs. Like we mentioned earlier, would be pretty great for Dave Caldwell's drafting stock to get another gem of a linebacker beyond the fifth round, this and Leon Jacobs being a seventh round pick. So, well, I guess we'll just have to take it one day at a time as things go on, because this is the first day of practice, not even in full shells yet. So it'll be interesting to watch as it unfolds.
Then we got a couple of questions from Alex Mahoney. And we know Alex Mahoney personally. We know he had a pretty fun day out there at camp. He is a recent graduate at Ponte Vedra High School. He notably had on his graduation cap, you guessed it, Miles Jack wasn't down. And he took that cap with him today. He got it signed by Miles Jack. The team was all over it. They posted it on their social media. It was really cool to see. He was excited. But he had a couple questions for us. He wants to know if we think Blake will be able to maintain the consistency that we saw today. And I think that's a really great question, because we have had times in the past in camp, especially last year, where it'd be one day he looks great. The next day he looks terrible throwing five interceptions. I'd like to think that that won't happen this year. I think he's found his comfort level in this scheme, especially building off of how well they performed last year. Chris, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Blake getting – I don't see him getting off this righteous path anytime soon. I've been saying this all offseason. I think Blake's in for a really good season. Like, I mean, in my tweet last night where we kind of pick the different roles of players, I have him as my dark horse. So I think he doesn't get respect around the league. He doesn't get respect from a lot of fellow players. But I think I have a good feeling for Blake. Last year, I said he was going to have a 3-to-1 touchdown ratio. Obviously, he didn't have anything close to that. I think this year that could be the real deal. I think a 30-and-10 or a 30-plus 10-ish interception year is very possible. And barring any major injuries or any setbacks of that matter, I think he's going to achieve that and only get better from here.
Definitely. And as he's entering the second year of a system that truly does seem to be something he's comfortable in, something that matches his strengths, I think that makes that more and more of a possibility. Now, looking back to the running game, not as much about what we saw today, but kind of a future question. What's TJ Yeldon's role going to be? He looked, in terms of today, he did look to be keeping up with Leonard Fournette a little bit, had a couple of nice runs. Just seemed comfortable being used in the passing game. And I think that's what it'll be. I don't know if they're going to designate a true third down back role at this point, because they really are sticking true to their gun. They want Leonard Fournette to be the team's bell cow. They want this to be a heavy running team. Last year, they ran the ball on, I think, 49.5% of snaps, which was a high across the league by at least 2%. So they're definitely a running first team, running second, running third, running to infinity team. And Leonard Fournette's the face of that. But I think in clear passing situations, Yeldon's probably the better receiver and pass blocker of the two. So he'll definitely have a role in the passing game. He might get some carries now and then to keep Fournette somewhat fresh, but I wouldn't expect him to be utilized a ton as a runner and more so in the passing game.
Yeah. I mean, today as a whole, didn't really do a whole lot. Again, well, that's just a copy and paste statement for probably a lot of the positional groups for today. Really, aside from hurting Parnell towards the end of practice, I didn't really notice a whole lot from Yeldon. Obviously, he's a receiving back at this point. That's his job. So he didn't have any drops from what I can remember. No fumbles. So that's good. I think this season they are going to utilize him more, because I think towards the end of last season, aside from that one fumble that he had, which was kind of fluky, I know he has a fumble problem in the past, it was just like a great play by the defense. He played pretty well towards the end of the season last year and into the playoffs, and you could tell that they're really trying to incorporate him on passing downs and getting him in there. And I think that's fine. You drafted him in the second round. Might as well get some use out of Yeldon before his contract's up, because they might keep him depending on how this year goes. But it's going to be interesting to see how much they will reduce Leonard's snaps if they want to incorporate Yeldon into the passing game more. I wouldn't expect it to be drastic. But we could see Yeldon considerably more on the field than we did last year.
Definitely. And with Chris Ivory out of the picture, that could certainly be the case for him, as well as Corey Grant. And I believe that'll wrap it up for us here at Locked On Jaguars. As I said before, we got into the show today. Be sure to throw us all a follow on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall, @MistoCristofo, and @LockedOnJaguars. We will be behind the ropes yet again tomorrow and at the press conferences, bringing you all the content that you need. So be sure to throw us a subscription on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. We are there, as well as bookmark the LockedOnJaguars.com website for all the written content that we will be putting out. And we will catch up with you guys later.